Claudia Farber. This is the Whistleblower Newsroom. And today we're going to be talking about vaccines. And, you know, I have to use the word genocide. I never thought I would live to see what we are seeing today. And it's becoming, they're trying to normalize it. On my Facebook feed, I see virtually every day an absolutely heartbreaking, shocking story that should be front page news. Same story again and again. A baby, perfectly healthy, thriving, happy, healthy, goes in for a round of shots, and all of a sudden, otherworldly screaming, or else just like the baby's really tired and just doesn't seem normal, very sleepy. And then, God forbid, within sometimes like 8 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, the mom or the dad, they go in and they find the baby blue, dead. And race in, or, you know, or barely alive, and race in, and the hospital people say, we have no idea, you know, there was nothing we could do, this just happens sometimes. And the parents are always screaming, wasn't it the shots? It had to have been the shots. He got his shots yesterday. It's the shots. Oh, no. Oh, no. Never, ever, ever a single person on the medical side that says, what are you telling me? When did he get the shots? What happened? Like, they don't write up reports. They don't do anything. And these parents are just left in this absolute abyss of grief and injustice and gaslighting. And this happens all the time. We know we have the highest infant mortality rate of developed countries in the United States. And we also have the highest number of infant vaccines of any developed country. We have allowed the vaccine manufacturers to just to take over our country. You know, we talk about freedom this and freedom that. There is no freedom if there is no freedom to protect your own child from being essentially physically assaulted by the state with a bunch of doctors with needles that can potentially either kill your baby or leave the baby permanently brain damaged with what we call autism. So we have to fight. We have to fight this monster, and so many great people are fighting this monster. And when you see these crowds out there, people who are protesting, most of them are parents, mostly mothers, who have already suffered the worst trauma imaginable, that either their child has died or their child has been gravely injured by vaccination. On top of all of this, they have to endure being mocked and bullied by the establishment press, supported by the pharmaceutical industry, as we know. But what I also see happening is that this has become so obvious and so grotesque that the American people are really beginning to wake up. People are not backing down anymore. People don't care so much if they're going to lose friends, or everybody's posting this stuff all over the place, and we're spreading awareness, and the armies are growing, and the lie is disintegrating, the big lie that vaccines are safe. So our guest today is Elisa Nethery. Jesse, do we have Elisa?
Yes, I'm here.
Elisa! Hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you so much.
How's the baby? I heard he was crying, he said. Is he all right?
Yeah, he was just waking up. He's good. Skylar's home today, too, for school was out. So you know, they enjoy watching their cartoons and stuff, so it gives me a few minutes to talk.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. And,
oh,
you know, I think the world of you.
Oh, thank you so much. And same to you. Same to you. Thank you so much for what you do. It's wonderful.
Well, yeah, we all try to, you know, do what we can do. And often it feels hopeless. But, you know, I wanted to ask you because I saw what you posted on Facebook that you were in. We're going to get to your story, and it's been a while since I spoke to you. I haven't spoken to you since baby Phoenix was born. When was Phoenix born?
He was born on my birthday. It was a wonderful gift.
What's your birthday?
January 29th.
Oh, okay.
My little birthday twin.
Oh, well, that's now that is amazing. And how old is he now?
He is 15 months. 15 months.
15 months. And you and Phoenix went together to Albany.
We did. We did. Oh, that was so amazing.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Oh, it was so amazing. Just amazing speakers. So much truth. Such a huge crowd. It was just, it was an amazing event to be at. You know, just trying to keep our freedom up here in New York, you know, with them trying to pull the religious exemption. You know, many of us, we depend on that. And I just don't know what, you know, we'll do if it is pulled. And it's just, it's so un-American. It's just ridiculous to try and take that freedom away from us because, you know, I mean, so many children and babies will be injured or worse, you know, without it.
Exactly. Now, I know you've had to answer this painful question so many times, but I want our listeners to hear your story firsthand. Your baby passed away in 2012. Is that right? Was it 2012?
Right, yes, that is correct.
Yeah. And what convinces you that Bentley died as a result of vaccinations?
Well, I seen the decline in the following days. He passed 5 days later, but he had no vaccines before. Now, I'm sure at the hospital when he was born, you know, this was before I knew better. It was just something that you did. You know, and I'm sure he probably had the Hep B. I don't know if they were doing vitamin K in Texas back then, but, you know, I wasn't asked. It was just done, and, you know. Now, I held off on, I just had a bad feeling. For some reason, I just had a really bad feeling about him with vaccines, you know, and I looked into, and for some reason, I was connecting SIDS and vaccines because I knew at 2 and 4 and 6 months, you know, that was when the SIDS rate was much higher. Well, and I just wish that, you know, with the programming and everything that is just instilled in us, you know, it's, I think we try to think, but we just don't, you know, fully connect the dots. So I had looked into them some.
Well, it must seem unimaginable, you know. Yeah.
Right. So I held off until he was closer to 6 months old to have any shots. And so I took him in. It was a new doctor, just a family practice. You know, honestly, I was just looking for someone that could see the whole family instead of a pediatric clinic. And I took him in and sat there and talked with this doctor. Well, I think it was a PA, a physician assistant. He talked to us for like 30 minutes about the benefits of vaccines because, I mean, I was obviously questioning. And he just reassured that, you know, oh, this is safe. This is going to be fine. We're only going to give the recommended 2-month dose. You notice I say recommended because it was not going to be double dosed anything. It was not going to be triple dosed anything that I was made aware of. I remember the doctor even going so far to mention, we don't want to give him too many at once. What I'll have you do is, you know, every month or every other month, I think he said once a month, come in and we'll start playing catch up. So I was just like, you know, okay. I had a daughter who was a year older than Bentley, and you know, she had her vaccines, and you know, everything turned out okay with her. So I'm thinking, well, sure, this it'll be okay. You know, he's a doctor; I can trust him. Surely he's not going to do anything that would harm my child. I mean, they're here to help us, harm us. That, you know, the mindset, and so.
Right.
they came in, and it took a while for them to come in after going back for the shots. You know, looking back, hindsight, maybe whoever was making up the shots maybe was confused as to what was being ordered. I'm not real sure what went on back there, but I know they came in, and I noticed the first shot that he got, which was the DTaP, the syringe looked rather full, and I just kept thinking, I guess maybe my red flag was going off, you know, something's not right. Well, so they gave him the shot, but, you know, of course, you just sit back and, you know, and it happens. Yeah. And with that shot, with the very first shot, he just let out the biggest scream, and it's haunting. It's just haunting. So they're done with the shots, and they send us on our way. And by the time that I got home, which would probably be 15 minutes later, 15, maybe 20 minutes later, you know, I got him out of his little overalls, and they say to, you know, massage the area. And I just noticed the hard red knot on his leg. You know, they don't spend time really telling you, well, if you notice this or look for these signs for adverse reactions. They don't do that. Truly, I just think either doctors know that this is caused and they get kickbacks from, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and all that to have a high-rate vax clinic, and so either they just don't care. I don't think that they're stupid. I just think maybe their eyes are closed or they know what's going on and they're just not doing anything about it. So I noticed the red dot or the red lump on his leg from the first injection site, and then it's just within those few days, it just everything declined. The inconsolable, nonstop crying took place. You could tell he was in pain because he would just cry. His little veins on his head were just, you could see them sticking out. I mean, he was in pain. And I was just thinking, you know, well, I don't remember my daughter doing this. I know that babies get cranky, but this is different. And I noticed he no longer would connect. The eye contact was gone. You just seen the spark in his eyes were no longer there. He wasn't the baby that I knew. And being at the doctor's office that day, hearing about how healthy he was, how, you know, just developmental-wise, milestones, he was just ahead of the game. And then just to watch that all go away was scary. And I just remember thinking to myself, my son's going to be autistic. I just, you see, as a parent, you see the change in them. You're with them every single day. You see this happen, and you just know, like, this, he's not going to be the same. And I had no idea that within 5 days, he wasn't even going to be alive. You know, here I'm worried about autism or some sort of just difference in my child that was probably going to be a lifelong thing that, you know, and I didn't even really know much about autism or anything. It's just looking back and you see, you know, trying to connect the dots, but just really not knowing, you know. I guess maybe trusting your intuition. Well, so I would notice that he would twitch and then his right side of his body would go limp. It was a very scary time. Very, very scary. On the fifth day, things seemed to be back to normal. He wasn't crying as much. He was actually interacting a little bit with my daughter. You know, they sat and they were watching cartoons, and, you know, she was two at the time, so she really enjoyed, you know, playing with him, and it was just so sweet to watch. So I was finally able to get my house clean because, you know, I was able to put him down for the first time in days. And then my husband came in for work or for lunch from work and around noon. And I just kept thinking, you know, I really kind of want to leave. Like, I think that maybe if we get up and go visit a friend or, you know, something like that, I just remember this just crazy feeling that I needed to get up and take the kids and we needed to go somewhere. Well, my husband went back to work from lunch and, I was calling, you know, people that I knew that lived around my neighborhood, and nobody was answering the phone. So my daughter went off to take a nap, which was kind of weird because she would never just go put herself down for a nap. Just the whole day was just really strange. and I was holding the baby, and he was starting to go to sleep, and I just kept thinking, you know, well, maybe we could get up and go outside, and I was doing a lot of gardening then, and I was like, well, maybe, you know, we can go outside, and I can play with my plants and, you know, get some stuff done outside. I just kept getting more and more and more tired, you know, and so the baby fell asleep on me, and then I ended up falling asleep, and he laid there on my chest, as we'd done so many countless times before. And then I woke up to my husband coming in. I guess I want to say it was about 4 to just a nightmare. I mean, that's when it all began. And I speak out about this because that was the worst thing that ever, ever happened. The timeline that follows is just unreal. No parent should have to go through that. My husband walked into the baby laying on me, and he just noticed something was different. He picked the baby up. He woke me up. He put the baby on the floor. He said the baby isn't breathing. Bentley wasn't blue. He was still warm. He had, it looked like whenever my husband was trying to do CPR, he had something coming out of his throat, I want to say. I was just, I had just lost it. I didn't know. I mean, that was to wake up to that. I could not piece together what was going on in my mind. So I ran outside to have somebody help call 911. I was just waiting to hear the baby cry. You know, I just knew the baby was going to cry. Everything was going to be okay. Then paramedics, there was so many. There was like 2 ambulances, I want to say, several paramedics, several firemen, police. It was just the chaos, and it's really kind of hazy because everything happened so quickly. I know that we stayed there at the house for what seemed like an eternity, but I just kept wondering, why are they not rushing him to the hospital? What is going on? Now that I know, whenever someone's unresponsive and they're just, it doesn't appear like they're going to make it, they don't rush them to the hospital. They, you know, sit there and I guess do what they can trying to work on them, you know, because I guess there's a period of time that you have to try to work on somebody who's unresponsive before you can, I guess, go ahead and put a time on it that, you know, of passing.
Yeah.
So, and I just was thinking, you know, well, this had to have just happened. You know, he wasn't stiff. He wasn't cold. I just knew that they were going to bring him back, but that was not the case. And he passed away April 10th of 2012, 5 days after receiving the only rounds of shots that he had ever had besides at birth, because I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he probably had the Hep B and, you know, at birth. We go to the hospital, and it was just, they pronounced him, and just the days following were awful. My husband took my daughter over to my grandmother's house while I was in the ambulance riding with my son, and I had asked the ambulance driver. I said, you know, why don't you use those paddles? You know, let's get his heart back going. And she said that he had, and I forget the word, or I forget the name that she called it. Basically, because I had to ask her, what does this mean? Like, he has no brain waves. He was brain dead. She said, you know, if we were able to bring him back, he would most likely be in a vegetable state. She's like, you don't want your son being like that. She's like, he's gone. And my worst nightmare. Oh. As a mother, I was a hairstylist in Texas for many years. I stopped working so I could stay home to be with my children because, I mean, you think if I'm there, if something happens, I'm their mother, I can save them. And that wasn't the case. That was so far from the truth because he was laying on my chest and he went to sleep and he didn't wake up. I don't know how much closer you can get to somebody to try and save them. It's just, you just can't. You can't.
Oh, I was so sorry, and
thank
I just want
so
to
much.
Ask you, you know, I always tell you this, like when we chat on Facebook, your courage, you know, we have a lot of courageous people on the show, all kinds of whistleblowers, but I can't think of anybody more courageous than you and the other parents who have been through what you've been through, and I just can't. It's unimaginable, and you know you did it. You survived. You kept breathing.
I don't know how I made it. I just had to keep telling myself, you know, and time, and just give it time. Just give it some time. And it was the worst pain. I mean, physical pain, you know, that I've ever experienced. Just for your body to physically.
Tell us about that a little bit. Like, how did you survive, and how did you? How did you get hope again?
I mean, honestly, I don't know how I survived, because, you know, with vaccines, and people don't believe that a vaccine can cause injury or harm. I mean, after all, they save lives, right? So, and my family, not to say necessarily that they were pro-vax, I don't think that that's what you would classify my family, and with my upbringing and everything, it was something that you did, you know. You got your shots. So it really tore us apart, because here I was in the insanity of my grief. And what I was getting at earlier was, my husband took my daughter to my grandmother's. Well, CPS shows up at my grandmother's door at 4 o'clock in the morning, wanting to take my daughter, and my grandmother and my aunt was there. I think my sister even got in the car and rushed over there. They weren't going to let take her. So she ended up getting to have, I guess, temporary custody. So, you know, she signed temporary custody papers to keep my daughter. So I lost my daughter and my son that day. I was able to get my daughter back after the investigation was over with, but it's just, you know, that is so painful to go through such a loss and then having fingers pointed at you. I understand, you know, in the day and age that we live in, people do weird stuff. People do bad stuff. There are bad people, you know, on this planet, but to be a good parent, to love your kids, and to have somebody come in and say, well, we don't know if you caused this, so we're investigating you. That was hard. You know, and then me trying to piece together, okay, he just had his shots. This happened within 5 days. It had to be his shots, because I seen him go through what he went through. So then I try to start doing some research. And it was so confusing. I mean, just, you're out of your mind with grief anyway. And then trying to understand what you're reading as far as vaccines go, and I was looking for inserts, I was looking for severe adverse reactions, and I was noticing, okay, this, so what it's saying here is what he was going through. This is crazy. Like, somebody has to be held accountable, you know. And at that time, I had no idea that doctors were not legally liable for your child's death if, you know, they induce it via vaccines. So I'm just, you know, trying to take all this in, and then I'm trying to talk to my family about it. Not my husband, because, you know, he's been with me by my side this entire time. You know, we've seen what happened with the baby. We know firsthand. It's other people in my family who just at that time, which thank God at this point, everybody has become aware and does see now that vaccines do injure. And so I'm so thankful for that, because if my sister or, you know, whoever was vaccinating their children, I would just be so beside myself. That would be so hard. But back then, nobody got it. Like, they just thought I had lost my baby, I was out of my mind, and I didn't know what I was talking about. So as far as support goes, there was none. You know, I don't know how I survived it. Probably just being out of my mind and, you know, trying to just figure out what was going on, and, you know, looking for other people like myself, which back then, social media, you didn't have these groups. You didn't have the ability to connect with other mothers or like-minded individuals who had experienced the same thing as you had. So I say social media is a very good thing when it comes to a lot of stuff. especially like that, because it gives you the chance to reach out and it gives you the chance to connect with other people who, you know, and you can sit back and compare stories and say, oh my gosh, this is so similar. Like, so similar.
Yeah.
So, you know, and just to be able to understand and the wealth of knowledge and the ability to just share that information is amazing. But yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's crazy what, I think that the doctors really need to have some sort of, you know, they need to stand up and try and help us, but they're not going to because, you know, this is money in their pocket. These vaccines create, you know, lifelong patients. And it's just, it's a greedy, greedy industry and just situation in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for the greater good.
Lisa, I have
it's not
to,
for the
I
greater health.
I was saying a little bit at the top of the show, the climate we're in now, as you all know, is this crackdown, this totalitarian vaccine state with no medical exemption, no religious exemption,
right,
et cetera, and all these hideous bills being passed, and some of them, thank God, in some parts of the country being struck down, but more of them, it seems, passing. Were you able to get exemptions for Phoenix? Or is that something
I was able
to? You don't have to address it if you don't want to.
Oh, no, it's fine. I, knowing my rights and knowing that I have a say at this point in time with his medical care, I guess, if you want to call it, I know that I can stand up and I can decline, you know, any vaccines or medical procedures that aren't necessary. I do have a religious exemption. I do believe that injecting toxins is injecting poison into your holy temple, you know, your body. I do believe that abortion, you know, in my opinion, having it directly injected into your child, I feel like that, you know, goes against,
yeah,
you know, my religious belief.
Listeners, let's just clarify, people don't believe this, so they've never heard it. They think it sounds impossible. But they use fetuses as part of vaccines components.
Right.
Unbelievable, but definitely true. Very, very proven over and over. This is what they do. Why? I don't know. I mean, human DNA doesn't sound like a good idea. The whole thing, and there's also apparently components of pig, components of cat. So what about people whose religion forbids them to eat pig, right? They're getting it injected into their children. The whole thing is so satanic to my
right.
mind.
It does go against, you know, many people's religious belief. And if they take that away from, you know, us as Americans, I don't know. I know that it is a weird day and age that we live in right now.
So New York still has religious exemptions. I haven't been following what's been happening. So you're still able to get a religious exemption for your baby
right.
in New York State?
Yes, I have a religious exemption in place for all of us in my family. Yes, at this time we are allowed to. The pediatrician that I used for Phoenix, she's wonderful. And I told her Bentley's story, and she said, you know, I don't know whether vaccines caused that or not. I think that you being his mother and you seeing what he went through, I could never ask you to vaccinate any of your other, you know, any of your other children. So I really respected her for that. And it's just a topic that doesn't even come up, you know, when we do see her. So she told me that I could go get some genetic testing done. I had asked her, well, okay, so can we do a medical exemption? But she really didn't know what that was. She's like, I'll have to look into that. I'm not really sure. So, you know, even though they're doctors, they don't know. When it comes to this subject, you know, it's such an undereducated topic for them that, you know, they just don't know. Like, never done a medical
yeah.
exemption before, and, you know, which you would think that that
yeah.
would be something that they would be aware of and how it's done, but no, she didn't know. So at this time, I do have religious exemptions. you know, if need be, I could get a medical exemption, because I do feel like all three of my kids, you know, had the blue vein across the top of their nose. And Phoenix has the little sugar bug, the red, you know, red spot on the back of his neck. And then the little dimple on the top of the bottom, all signs of the MTHFR. You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure that they probably do have a form of it, you know, at least one, but I'm not sure which.
I
haven't gotten them tested yet.
Maybe share with our listeners what that is. That's a genetic predisposition to have difficulty process. It has to do with methylation, right?
Right, correct.
Wow, so that would render a child much more vulnerable to vaccine damage.
Exactly. That's exactly what it does. And it's, you know, and not even just with vaccines. It could be certain dyes and foods, you know, certain chemicals that, you know, are used every day, like, you know, just things of that nature. So, I mean, it is really good to know the signs to look for, which those are visible signs, the blue vein, the sugar bug, the little red spot, you know, some babies are born with. I think sometimes people call them the raspberries, or strawberries, or what, some sort of berries. Anyway,
yeah.
And then the little dimple on the top of the bottom. So
Alisa, how has Phoenix's health been? Sorry, tell me again, how old is he right now?
He's 15 months, and let's see, I think I hear him. One second, let me go grab him. I'm going to bring him in here with me. Hold on just a second.
Oh, we want to talk to Phoenix. We're talking to Alisa Nethery, very brave woman, mother, lost a baby to vaccines. She's been blessed with another baby, and she's going to fetch him right now. I think he was crying.
Yes, he was. he was wanting his mama.
He's back.
So with Phoenix's health,
sweetheart.
I mean, he's never been sick, you know, other than, I mean, we are in New York, you know, so sometimes, you know, the little common cold or maybe allergies, but nothing, you know. I see just in scrolling through Facebook sometime, you know, and just the doctors normalizing seizures. Oh, it's just a normal childhood thing. That's absolutely not true. I've never had a seizure. You know, I do know that kids have them, and I know that they typically get them post-vaccination. But, of course, there's no correlation between that. It just must be coincidental if you ask a doctor about it.
Yeah.
His health is amazing, just like Bentley's was. You know, Bentley was completely healthy, ahead of all of his milestones and developmental. And, you know, Phoenix is the same. And we drove 2 hours in labor out of state in order to avoid the vitamin K shot. You know, that is one that has, and it's not a vaccine, but it does have, in New York, it is mandated that they have to, at birth, give them the shot. And so I said, nope, not happening. I found a birthing center just over the border, in another state, and that's where we went, just to make sure that I could safely have my baby.
I'm so happy to hear that. Wow. So, Alisa, tell me, so you went to the march, and I'm not clear exactly what was going on there, but I know that I was in Spain at the time, and I've decided from now on I really want to attend all these marches. I have one child who's now 24 years old, and he was not vaccinated because
I'm
a journalist with a medical background. So I knew, you know, I knew Harris Coulter. I had read all the books. But I feel that this is the most important issue in the United States right now, with everything else that everybody obsesses about, that if we can't fight this back, we don't have a country, we don't have any freedoms worth speaking of, we don't have anything. You know, and I've been saying throughout my career as an investigative pharmaceutical medical reporter, which is, I guess, what I sort of used to be before it became impossible for me to work anymore after all of their their multiple attacks, I mean, work in the mainstream, which I'm happy to be out of. But I've been saying for a very long time that this is a creeping tyranny, not so creeping. This is a tyranny. This is a totalitarian octopus that's strangling life itself. Like, forget abstracted liberties, just life itself. And if we don't kick this thing back, and I think, okay, I have a tendency to think, oh, you know, everything's going to turn around, everything's going to be okay. I'm not really a cynic. I'm a sort of, I'm always very hopeful and optimistic, and sometimes I despair. But I feel like something's happening in the vaccination war right now, and I want you to speak to that since you were in Albany. And other people who were there said that it was the best day of their lives as vaccination activists. Just
yes.
Tell me what you felt like being there.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing to be around so many like-minded individuals standing for their freedom. It was really amazing. Del Bigtree is such an amazing speaker. Bobby Kennedy is an amazing speaker. I mean, just what they brought to the table that day was everybody should hear, whether you're pro, ex, anti-vax. It's things that make you go, you know, what they're talking about is just, I mean, it's real. And it was definitely amazing. It was one of the best days, you know, of my life in within this movement, and just, you know, to get to stand up and just see so many like yourself around you was absolutely amazing. And I myself will be at every event, you know, that I can be here locally. It was such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And I don't think that they showed it like on high wire, but who was up there speaking? I can't remember exactly at the time because it was just so amazing. It's just unreal, really. But during one of the speakers that were up talking, I want to say probably 50 or more people in white coats, I guess doctors or paid, they were paid, you know, paid protesters to get out there and walk back behind where we were at with their signs and basically mocking, you know, and that's, I can't stand that, you know, to have these medical professionals or even just paid, you know, paid pharma goons to come out and mock the mothers and the fathers and the family members of vaccine-injured or vaccine-induced death, you know, parents. It's just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting what's going on. It really, really is.
Are you telling me there were paid protesters in white coats to come and mock you guys at this in Albany?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
I mean, it.
What I
either,
read was that they turned around and came over to your side. I read different accounts of that. Did you see that at all?
They didn't come over to our side, but they marched back. There's a field. There's a field right there on the west side steps of the Capitol here in Albany, and so we were on one end, and they were over on the other, and they made their presence known. You know, they walked by and held their signs, and I mean, it was very petty. It was very, very petty. But you know, it just goes to show they're scared. Like, pharma is scared.
Yeah.
Vaccine manufacturers, they're scared because our numbers are growing. People are learning, and they're reading stories like what happened to my son, and saying, you know, well, this just, let me look into this a little bit more, because, you know, here I am doing what I think is best for my kids, you know, saving them any unnecessary preventable, you know, illnesses in the future, which are measles is not. It's a week of, you know,
right. They're not deadly
and then lifelong immunity.
They're,
I mean,
manageable.
It's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But people are really, really waking up, and they're seeing, you know, and I'm not one for, you know, the mainstream mom groups on Facebook or whatnot, but, you know, I do have a few I am a part of a few. I'm not active or anything in, but it just, I can't tell you how many times a day I scroll through and I see pictures of these babies who have just had their shots, or their babies are having seizures. And so, you know, what I use these groups for, just the mainstream mom groups, is, you know, I will see like something like that and then just private message and say, hey, just in case, you know, your baby recently had vaccines, I would kind of research into that because this could be a reaction. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, but just from my research and from what I know over the 8 years of really diving deep into this topic and learning as much as I can, you know, this looks like if these certain things have taken place prior to your child reacting like this, you know, I would look further into what you're giving them. But my whole point to this was, you know, I've just noticed lately when, because, you know, in some of these groups, vaccines just can't even be brought up. But the growing number of moms, you know, and people that have really started looking into this, and, you know, because you don't see many of the, I guess, awakened individuals on some of these groups, you know, but lately I sure have been, and it's been so nice to know that our numbers are growing. There's so many of us, and it's just, it's kind of a breath of fresh air, you know, to see that. And it's scaring the vaccine manufacturers and pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, because this is really going to hit their pockets and hit them hard. And I truly feel that this is what trying to, you know, strip these religious freedoms and the exemptions and everything is really about, because how can you have a lifelong patient if you're not starting out from day one, you know, injecting them with toxins that are causing all these issues with your child, you know? And to sit here with my son, yeah, you know, I'm so thankful every day for him, and I'm so thankful that he is 100%, you know, healthy, no problems whatsoever. But this is how they should be, you know. He's never been pumped full of toxins either, so there's a huge difference. And it just breaks my heart to see some of these moms and dads out there that think, you know, they have to rush their child into the doctor for every little, you know, cough or sneeze or runny nose, and then pump them full of antibiotics, or, you know, get them their vaccinations, you know, and then to see them starting walking on their tiptoes or regress in speech, you know, it's just the injuries are endless when it comes to vaccination, and people just don't connect the dots.
It's a genocidal holocaust we are in the midst of, you know, in real time. And one of the things that shocks me so much, except it shouldn't shock me anymore, is I follow these groups. I see these babies, these beautiful babies, again and again, and they've, you know, they died within a few days of a round of shots, and the parents are very clear about it, and they write, and I make myself read these heartbreaking stories, and I always cross-post them, and very few people, I mean, you know, some people respond who are, you know, awake to this issue, but I think it's too much for people. They just basically shut down.
Yes.
But the media.
Hi, Phoenix. Hi, sweetie.
We love you. But the media, we're almost at 11 o'clock. We have a few minutes left, Lisa. But the media, you know, God forbid anything happens to a child, it's front page news. I mean, but by and large, that's the rule of the media, that, you know, children dying is a strange death or going missing, God forbid, you know, that. And they will never, ever, ever cover one of these babies. You know, it's just this parallel universe of,
right,
like Facebook, where the stories get told.
Yes, it is. You know, honestly, parents like myself are just mocked by, you know, just mocked. I mean, you know, we were Google educated, basically is what we're looked at. And it's like, no, it's so much deeper than that, you know. It really is, you know, and honestly, in the age of information, ignorance is a choice, you know. And it's just, there's no point in, if you're going to allow anything to be done with your child. You know, people look into car seat safety. They look into what's into their food. They really need to be looking
right.
at what's being injected into their child, because there is no medication out there on the market that is a one-size-fits-all, safe for everybody. Everybody can take, and you're going to be okay. That's not the case. And so why are vaccines any different? Why is it that, they're 100% safe, and they save lives, and they're effective? And that makes absolutely no sense. And people have just been so programmed over time to believe that this is true. And, you know, and the media really should be covering this, but they're paid to,
they know their jobs are over the minute
yes.
they report on this, because it's become, so the media's worst, weapon, I would say, is that it's not even what they report or don't report, what they lie about and distort. It's the way they create a climate and a mood of
yes.
violent silencing and gaslighting and bullying and persuasion. So everybody
right.
knows what you're not allowed to say, and this is one of the things you're not allowed to say, and we should be saying it. That
absolutely.
SID, so-called sudden infant death syndrome. This is my understanding, correlates precisely with these so-called well baby visits. It's so chilling that they call them well baby visits. That is to
right.
say 2 months, 4 months, 6 months. Am I correct about that?
Yes, 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 that is true.
That's when the babies die. They're not dying at, 1.5 months. They're not dying in between these well babies. But SIDS is clocking in at those well baby visit junctures. And that is such a huge story. You know, and I have colleagues who try to take this story to colleagues who have worked places like 60 Minutes and all these big, establishment media places. And they just, sometimes there's no answer. Sometimes there's a snide dismissal. But this is like the brain waves of the entire media establishment just reversing themselves, because I'm sorry, but if this is not a story worth, like, sounding every alarm about, I don't know what is. But, of course, the obvious thing to say is, well, they are supported by the pharmaceutical industry, so they're never going to do it. I just find that hard to believe, that there are so many journalists, who just, I shouldn't find it hard to believe, but I do, that there aren't editors out there with the courage to say, I don't care if we lose pharmaceutical funding. Guess what? We'll get some other kind of funding. We're running with this story. But they
to stand
don't
up and do the right
total
thing.
Coverage, and if they did, many lives would be saved. My understanding,
right.
again, I'm not sure if this, what I keep reading is that in Japan, they don't vaccinate children at all until they're 2 years old. Have you heard that?
Yes, I was reading on that. And they also don't allow certain vaccines. Yep.
Yeah, I think they don't allow the MMR vaccine. I mean, when did we even start to give infant vaccines?
Well,
I'm not sure about that.
If you inject a tiny human being at birth, you never really notice the decline in them. So I think it's all designed to be that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, Lisa, you're so brave, and you're such an inspiration. Now, thank you. What would you say to parents who this happens to today, all of a sudden this happens to them, this tragedy? What are the steps that parents can take in their, engulfing grief, that looking back you wish you had known?
I would have to say to just try, try and keep it together as much as possible. Do look into your options, like filing a VAERS report. Being that you can't legally sue a medical doctor for injuring or killing your child via vaccination, there is vaccine injury court. It is very, very difficult to get into. I think it's something like 1% of cases are not thrown out, you know, the rest of them are. And it has to be a question, you know, get an independent toxicology report, because the toxicology reports that are performed, they do not check for the toxicology levels of the vaccines. So I would say get a separate toxicology report done. You could even get a separate autopsy done, you know, because things like SIDS a lot of the times aren't stand in the vaccine injury court. And like with Bentley, and you know, and SIDS is a cover up. His death was classified as SUDS, sudden unexplained death syndrome. So what that means is the medical examiner said, he cannot find a cause of death. There is no reason why my son died. He had no underlying problems, no underlying health issues that could have attributed to SIDS. You know, because with SIDS, I believe that they can find some sort of underlying cause that can end up getting your case, you know, thrown out. So it's all really a cover-up. But just parents that, you know, are going through this, reach out to others who have been there. Go and do what you can to get a separate toxicology report done. You know, $4 billion have been paid out in vaccine injury court, and that's only to the 1% of cases that were seen and tried and won. So it's not about the money, because there's no money on the planet that could ever bring your child back or take away the pain that you feel with the grief and the loss, because it's been 7 years since I lost Bentley, and every single day I miss him so much. And with my grief, it took me 6 years to finally be able to conceive again, because just the trauma and the grief hit so hard that it just messed me up. I mean, health-wise, everything.
God bless you, Alicia Nethery.
Just research, yeah. Well, thank you, dear.
Bravest woman. I am just so happy, and kiss your little baby. We hope we
thank
can have
you,
so you back again sometime soon. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Alicia.
And, thank you for having me. It was very nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, we love you, and we love the baby. Kiss him. Hold him. You're listening to The Whistleblower Newsroom. I'm Celia Farber, and we'll be back next Friday. Renegade. Renegade.